From Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and following, the Christmas story. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of Abraham. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, who is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. This morning we continue this series, Christmas Through the Eyes of Key People, and that first Christmas story. And this morning I'd like to think about Christmas Through the Eyes of Mary. I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little girl, Kelly, and she began her bedtime prayers every evening, and she had a whole list, and she prayed for every single member of her family, and she prayed for every friend, and she even prayed for all the animals in the house. And she did this for several weeks in her nightly prayers, and then she would end each prayer with, "and all girls." Soon her daddy, after a few weeks of that, just finally said, "Well, Kelly, why do you end your prayers with 'and all girls'?" And she said, "Well, that's easy, because everybody else finishes their prayers with 'all men.'" Well, sometimes when you think about the Bible, you begin to think, well, maybe it's just all men. But the truth is, it isn't. There's some great women in the Bible. For Abraham, there was Sarah, and of course there's Rebecca and Rachel, and some great women in the Bible, and there's Ruth and Naomi, and there's Mary. Mary's very special, and we've been on this journey, and we began with Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph. This morning I want to look at Christmas Through the Eyes of Mary, and then think about Christmas Through the Eyes of the Shepherd, and Christmas Through the Eyes of the Magi, and Christmas Through the Eyes of God. But this morning, Christmas Through the Eyes of Mary. And you know, the truth is, when we think about Mary, many times we think that she's a great example of love, and she is. She's got her mother's love for her baby and how special that moment was. But Mary is also an example of some other great things. Mary's an example of faith and of praise and of servanthood. And those are the things that I like to think about this morning when we think about Mary. The first thing I like to think about is Mary is a great example of faith. And you know, when you think about the different Christian traditions, we think about sometimes like Catholics venerate Mary and hold her very, very highly, and some even pray to her. And Protestant traditions have sort of pushed that aside, and maybe to the other extreme, where we don't even look at Mary as the kind of disciple example of faith that she was. And I think the truth is in the middle. And we don't want to forget the great qualities of Mary as a disciple of faith. And so this morning, the first thing I want to think about is that Mary was a great person of faith, a great mother, and a great example for all of us. And she was a disciple of Jesus as well as the mother of Jesus. She was a key figure in disciples, and she was there in the upper room. And so when you think about Mary this morning, and you realize that she was in the middle of plans for her life, and all of a sudden that was all interrupted. She was in the middle of plans for a wedding, and you know how much women plan for weddings. As a pastor, I can tell you that there's no end to the details and the preparation and the excitement and the joy and the enthusiasm. And she had to be thinking about her family that would take place at a home and what would be just right. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of that, this angel comes and disrupts everything. And listen again to what the story says. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And that sounds good, but Mary had a sense that maybe everything wasn't perfect there. And it says Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of thing this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God and the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever with a kingdom that will never end. You know, that sounds good, but I think Mary knew that there was a lot more to it than that. And this world that she was so carefully planning was all of a sudden interrupted and even shattered by the news of that angel. And she said, how will this be? And I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. What beautiful words from the angel, for nothing is impossible with God. You know, Mary had to be troubled by those in some sense. She knew that her life would be interrupted, and she had to think about how would her fiancé understand this, and how about neighbors and the friends, but she had to cling to those words, for nothing is impossible with God. And she had to have a tremendous faith in it in order to be able to do that. And sometimes I think in the middle of difficulties and tragedy and adversity and challenges sometimes that she's a great example of faith for us. The kind of faith that has that peace that surpasses all understanding. The kind of faith that leans into the grace and strength of God, knowing that we ourselves can't do it and we need to lean in that moment into the strength of God's grace. And so she did exactly that. And this morning, I challenge us to do the very same thing. That when sorrow breaks our heart, as it has this week, that we need to have faith that God is working God's plans out in a way that we don't fully understand. And even in the midst of tragedy, that God's faith and presence and grace is there even greater. And sometimes the night seems very, very dark, but the truth is God's light shines brightest in the darkness. And so for all of us, we have sometimes no answers for the difficult questions of life and the difficult chapters of life, except to lean into God's grace and, like Mary, to have faith. Because even the joy that she was about to share, she knew deep inside that there was some point of tragedy in all of that, and a great tragedy for a mother to lose her child. And so she embraced both. Nothing is impossible for God. And I challenge us this morning to have that kind of faith that sees the light even in darkness. Mary was also an example of praise. And as that story continues in that same chapter, Mary had to sort of break this news to Joseph. And fortunately, an angel intervened with Joseph and helped that out. But Mary needed a little woman-to-woman time. I am sure the women out there could understand that. I think even us men can understand that. Maybe not as deeply as the women, but she needed some woman-to-woman time, and so she went to see Elizabeth, her relative. And it says this in verse 39 and following. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary had to think of a lot of things in that moment when Elizabeth sort of confirmed that, and I'm sure that was an incredible encouragement to her. A sign, too, that Elizabeth, who was thought to not be able to have a child in her older years, had sort of a beginning of a miracle, nothing like Mary's miracle, but it lifted her heart. And those words of prophecy continued to give her hope, I think, through the months and years to come, and knowing that God was somehow around her in grace and presence. And she could have just sort of thrown up her hands in doubt, but she didn't. She embraced that truth. And the words that came from her mouth following that are beautiful words. It's a beautiful psalm of Mary called the Magnificat. And sometimes we look at the words in Scripture and we think, well, most of them are written by men, and that's true, but there's some tremendous words that are written by women, such as Proverbs 31. And And that's sort of the culmination of all the wisdom in Proverbs, the last chapter of Proverbs, but also this psalm of Mary called the Magnificat. And so in verse 46 and following, it says this, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely now, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." That psalm is called the Magnificat because the first words begin with magnifies. And that is one of the great things about giving praise is sometimes when we look all around us, it's easy to take the negative things and sort of magnify them. But Mary chose the things that were positive to magnify. She chose to give faith and praise to God Almighty. And you think about that in that moment. And shortly before that, Elizabeth is singing, and Mary, maybe she sung this, and maybe she said it, we don't know, but her heart was touched by the Holy Spirit with words of song, and later, I think that led to the angels singing, and we sing around Christmas time. It's one of the most beautiful things about Christmas, and so when we look at Mary as an example of praise and of gratitude, I think that we too, as we face adversity and difficulty, and as we celebrate the Christmas story, that we too give praise and thanks to God. And sometimes it's easy to, as Gary said, to get all caught up in the busyness of life. But the truth is, the thing that we need to get caught up is not the busyness, but the blessedness of life. And in all of us, we have a lot of blessings that we could focus on. And even amid some challenges and difficulty, the good news of the gospel still comes to us. That God has come to us and not just a distant voice, but to embrace not only our joys, but our humanity, our weaknesses, our challenges, our adversities, even our sorrows, and to embrace them and to make them a part of God's family in a special way to reconcile us to God. And so this morning I challenge us, like Mary, to be examples of praise and examples of blessedness. And the last thing is that Mary is an example of servanthood. She's an example of faith and she's an example of praise and she's an example of servanthood. And the reason that's true, of course, is every mother is a serving person. I mean, to have a child, and fathers do too, but I think mothers nurture more than anyone else. They have a tremendous gift. And so God sent his son, Emmanuel, God with us, to be among us, to take human form. And as Mary hears that news from the angel, her simple declaration is this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." What great words of faith that this would be not only a blessing, but a burden that she would not fully know until later in life. But I think deep inside her heart, she knew that there was pain amid all that, even the joys. And she knew that her life would be disrupted. And yet she said simply, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And I wonder this morning, sometimes as we face some challenges and difficulties in life, if we had that kind of attitude. "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Not long words, simple, powerful, profound words that speak not only the words, but an example of faith, an example of service in life. And as we think about Christ himself coming into this world as the greatest example of service and servanthood ever, to put aside a heavenly home and to take on humanity as a humble baby in a manger born to parents of very ordinary means, to a difficult life and to embrace our sin and suffering and to lay down his life on the cross. That's the greatest example of servanthood we could ever see. That God himself would do that for us. And so it reminds us that God lifts the lowly, that God honors service and God honors a heart of service and gratitude. And this morning as we think about Christmas time, we'll never have the kind of burden or moment that Mary had, but it's true that you and I can be examples of service to others. And Christmas reminds us of gifts and it's better to give than to receive and the joys of all of that. But so much of what we give sometimes too can be the presence of our life and not just the presence that we give. presence of being with someone fully present and to say a word of greeting and love and care to someone who is hurting and broken and to lift them up, to take time and to love those who are close to us and to reach out across some boundaries and love those who seem somewhat distant to us, to reach down to mend some broken relationships and to let our heart hurt with those who hurt. Those are tremendous examples of servanthood. This is such a great congregation for giving, and I challenge us to give in the kind of example of servanthood that Mary had. And so as we think about Christmas today, think about Mary. I'm going to close with this thought. There was a little girl one evening in the middle of night crying in her room, and her father went up to her, and it was nighttime, and she was supposed to be asleep, and her father asked her what was wrong, and she told her daddy that she was scared and frightened in the dark room all alone, and her father comforted her, and then when he was about to leave, he reminded her that God was with her, and she said, "Well, but daddy, I want someone with skin on them." That's true, isn't it? And when you think about all the theological enterprises you can think about when explaining that Jesus come to us, I think the greatest one is the simplest one, which is that Jesus is God with skin on us, that we could, on him, so we could understand God, and that God would fully embrace all the brokenness of our lives, all the hurt, and bring healing where there's brokenness, and bring forgiveness where there's sin, and to be present with us, because sometimes being present is the greatest gift that we can ever give. And so when we think this Christmas of these great words from Isaiah chapter 6, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." All those things really wouldn't be possible without Mary. Mary is not only an example of love, but she's a great example of a person of faith, of deep faith. Mary is an example of praise. Mary is an example of service and servanthood to all of us. And so I challenge us this Christmas to make those qualities that we follow and we see Christmas through our eyes. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes we get caught up with the busyness of Christmas and we forget to embrace the grace that you have for us. And so help us to go back to that first Christmas somehow through the eyes and hearts of those who are closest to your love, that first Christmas. We think of Mary and think of the gift that she gave in her life, that you would come to her and bear Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We think of not just as an ordinary woman, but a woman of great faith and great love. A person of a heart of praise and a woman with an attitude of service and servanthood. And we know that often in life, those who seem weakest are really the strongest. And the simplest messages are the most powerful. And so help us to follow with that spirit. Give each of us a faith that can see the light in the darkness. Even amidst the tragedy and pain of life, help us to follow you faithfully, knowing your word is with us and the Spirit of Christ travels with us in life. Help us to have an attitude of praise each and every day, even amid the challenges and adversity, and help us to have a great attitude of service and servanthood in all of life. May this Christmas be a Christmas that's the most special ever. The true gifts that you've given us through Jesus Christ, hope and peace and love and joy. In your name, amen.